Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hello, Bob Bertog. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. How are you?
Pretty good. Hasn't rained much since we spoke last. Any advice for folks generally out there, Bob?
Yeah, the rain yesterday didn't really count. I think we had less than a tenth of an inch.
Yeah.
I heard your question before you went to break about the grass, just letting it go. I think it depends on the situation. For example, they redid my roads in my subdivision last year, and they put sod down like in October. So it's turning, it looks like it's dormant, but that's probably actually dying because the roots never got established. So it depends on the situation. If you have a well-established turf and you don't want to spend the money on the watering, then go ahead and let it go dormant. But if you have a situation where the sod is less than 6 months or a year old, you might be forced to water it.
What about this? So I turned over some dirt and I put a bunch of grass seeds down. I think I got it in before the soil got too warm. You said don't water at night, but I thought, aha, I can actually water this late in the afternoon, early in the evening, because the reason not to water at night is because you don't want mold to grow, but it's just mud and some tiny little baby grass coming up. So I'm okay with that, right, Mr. Bertog?
Yeah, you'll be fine with that. It's established turf. You don't want the moisture sitting on it, because then the spores are already in there, and then adding the moisture to it just activates them.
I've been walking through my lawn as I was mowing it and just picking up sticks and whatnot, because that's what I like to do. And I see this little, like, I guess it's thatch, just like this little ground cover layer in between the splotches of grass, of dry old grass, that's kind of matted down. It's very thin. It's very thin. But I could just pull it out and then expose the dirt. Should I pull it out, or should I leave that little splotch of old dead dry grass in there?
More than likely what that is the person has what's called annual poa, and it's dead grass because it only lives for one season. But it's kind of like bent grass. The seeds are very small, and it's a prolific seeder, so it just is going to fill in everywhere. And it blends in with normal turf, but then it dies with the first frost and then doesn't come back the following year. So more than likely, based on the way you're describing it, with it being real easy to pull out, it's more than likely just annual poa. So go ahead and rake it out. You can still try and put some seed down. The soil temperatures are really getting to a point where it's probably not going to germinate.
I've never heard anybody talk about that, and there you have been the last few weeks. The dirt gets so warm that the seed won't germinate. That's cuckoo.
Well, it's a combination of things. The seed actually will probably try and germinate, but it just burns itself up because it's too hot. It can't, it's like taking a hot bath. You can only do it so much, and the seed can't survive in it.
Cottonwoods are putting down a blanket of white, unlike that which we have seen for years around here. You've noticed that, haven't you?
Part of it is the lack of rain, because a lot of times the rain will help hide those seeds. But I just read something interesting yesterday. The average cottonwood produces 25 million seeds a spring.
So if you've got a few of those in your neighbor's yard, you've got snow on your lawn. Some people literally have what looks like a light snow on their yards.
I agree. And yesterday, the rain did help get rid of a lot of that.
Why would people plant cottonwood trees?
Well, you can't anymore.
Really?
They're old. Yeah, they're old trees.
Well, what do you mean they're old trees? I mean, you could go get a new cottonwood if you wanted.
No, they don't grow them anymore. The same way you can't get a silver maple anymore. They're considered noxious, and you can't plant them. They're too invasive.
This listener asked, how can I kill my neighbor's cottonwood tree?
I don't know, but if you find out, let me know, because my allergies were so bad this weekend from my neighbor's cottonwood.
You could knock on their door with a tissue in your hand, but what are they going to do? I mean, they don't mean to make you sick.
No. It provides the shade, and it cools off their house for the summer, so it's just one of the things that Mother Nature makes us deal with.
I have a question for Bob Bertog. We have seen slugs, gross, on the leaves of our pepper and tomato plants that are in pots and now just caught a hornworm on the pepper plant. Is there a natural remedy or spray we can use to stop them eating the leaves and maybe killing our plants and aphids, as they may be around too? P.S. We're going to do a mix of vinegar and water and then read conflicting reports that it might not be good for the plants. Please help. Any ideas for this person?
Kitchen chemistry. Slug bait will work well, and that'll keep the worms out too. And what that actually is just it's a powder. Basically consisting of diatomaceous earth. which is some people use it in their pools for their filters. But it's very sharp. Well, it's not sharp to the human hand, but it's very sharp to the soft belly of a slug. So they cut through it and they just leave. They don't want to go after the plant.
Hmm. So you just go to your plant garden store and buy powdered slug bait.
Slug bait, but that's what it consists of. So if you have a pool and you have diatomaceous earth, go ahead and use that. But otherwise, just use slug bait. It does work well.
Sprinkle it right on the leaves, the plant in general?
No, around the base of the plant, because they won't climb up it then.
Oh, I see. They won't even get there, huh?
Right.
How do you feel about mowing my dry grass, says 847?
Well, if it's completely dried out, you're better off letting it grow, because you don't want to scalp it, and then it's already struggling. Why? Just to exacerbate the problem.
Really? I mean, like a taller grass blade has more chance to, what, absorb sunlight or water? I mean, that's more of an opportunity for it?
That's correct. And remember, more than 50% of a grass blade is water. So any little bit that's in there, if you keep cutting it, it's depleting the plant of the nutrients.
847 said, well, we're expecting rain, I believe, this weekend. Hopefully I'll be in the 70% area. I would like to put down my weed and feed just before it rains, like a day or so. Will that hurt the grass in the present condition that it is in?
If the grass is dormant, it will not absorb the fertilizer. If the weeds are actively growing, if it's a granular herbicide, it will adhere to the weeds, but realistically you're supposed to put down those granular herbicides when the lawn is a little wet. So maybe let it rain, and then as the storm is exiting the area, the ground will be wet, and then put it down then.
Wait till it gets wet. Okay.
Yeah.
What about, you know, those of us that are trying to monitor some sort of four-step program? Aren't you supposed to shoot for, I don't know, the 4th of July for the second step? I mean, what sort of nutrients should I be weaving into my lawn now?
Round 2 of fertilizer should be applied right now.
Okay.
And before June 15th, or plus or minus June 15th. Mm-hmm. And then this is the application that includes the preventative, or I don't want to say preventative because that's people get the wrong impression, but it suppresses the populations of grubs, annual white grubs.
So get
doesn't mean you're doesn't mean you're not going to get them. It's just, but it's like when you get the flu shot, doesn't mean you're not going to get the flu.
Yeah, fair enough. But then, is there a number on the bag? Like, is the nitrogen and the other thing? Is there a number that this round 2 I should be looking for on my bag of fertilizer or whatever?
It's not as important as the fact that you have an insecticide in there for control of the grubs that are going to be coming up. It's more
right.
important that it's not put down at the rate for the nitrogen. It's put down at the rate for the insecticide.
Please ask your garden expert how to get rid of voles. They've eaten my hostas.
Well, there's poison, but I don't want to, you know, PETA's not going to like me for that. But again, I think they're going to be deterred by scent, so I would try Milorganite. That's the organic fertilizer from Milwaukee, and they tend not to like the scent.
Milorganite, that's that kind of composty, sewage-y stuff from Milwaukee, right?
It's actually sewage, yeah, that's been refined, and then they put it into a fertilizer, into a pearl.
Milorganite. And that's available kind of everywhere, isn't it, Milorganite?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Lucky Milwaukee. Let's go to a Nancy. You got a question for Bob Bertog. Nancy, what can we do for you?
Actually, it's another hosta question.
Yeah.
I have had hostas in for years, and I've heard you talk about how they're indestructible. But over the last several years, mine have a stunted growth. I mean, they don't die all of a sudden, and I don't notice the leaves being chewed off. But the leaves they get smaller, and then maybe over 2 or 3 years, I don't have a plant. What's happening?
Well, how often do you divide your hosta and split them and then, you know, spread them out?
Well, I try to do that every 2 or 3 years.
Okay, well, so you're doing the right thing, because they do, if they start getting too compacted and compressed, they kind of choke themselves out. The only thing I could think, if you have other plants in the area that could be starving the hosta for nutrients, like a bigger tree. You know, you have to remember the landscape's constantly changing because everything's growing. And they might be sunny hosta in the shady area or vice versa.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I have them around some trees, but the tree isn't, I mean, it's in a, like a little rock garden around there, but it's not right at the base of the tree.
Hmm. I didn't know there was sunny hosta and shady hosta, Bob. Is that true?
Yes.
I wonder if maybe that's an issue for her, too.
That could be part of it.
Although I was looking at my hosta that I was trying to fight with the mulch. Do I need to pull the mulch back for the hosta the way I do the base of my trees, the way you said, make a little donut for them to come up?
You could. There's no plant out there that enjoys being too much mulch around the base of the plant. It just it needs to breathe, and it also harbors the moisture, which is good around the root zone, but you don't want to mound it up around there because then it defeats the purpose.
Nancy, good luck to you. 847 said, if the ground is too hot to put down grass seed, is it too hot to lay down sod?
No, because the sod is already germinated. It's already an established plant. All you've done is when you buy the sod from the sod farm, the roots have just been severed. So you can put that down. It's still an actively growing plant, and the water will force the roots to reestablish themselves.
Hey, John Williams, I do not have a question, but I would like to say thank you to Bob Bertog for all the information. Well, how about that, Bob?
Thank you.
This one says basswood, B-A-S-S, is that basswood, is a mess. How long do these things live? Great shade for our 100-year-old home, but my wife hates them.
Sounds like it's in the cottonwood family.
Yeah, but I'm not exactly sure what the point of this is. It's great shade for a 100-year-old home, but my wife hates them. Well, then either get rid of the tree or get rid of your wife. I mean, if this is a tree you don't like, cut the dang thing down, right?
Well, depending on what village you live in, they might not let you, although most villages will allow you to take down a cottonwood.
My village has a list of trees you cannot plant. And if they see you planting a tree you're not supposed to, you get fined. How about that?
That's true.
That's not unusual either, I guess, huh?
No, not at all.
Although we have some of those, what are the tall, it'll come to me just as soon as we're done with this.
Buckthorn.
No, the tall, evergreeny trees that are real tall and thin.
Arborvitae?
Yes. Okay, we got about 4 arborvitae, and I'm thinking about putting them in the city dumpster. How big is the root ball underneath those things? Will that be easy for me to dig out?
You can dig it out, and if you just chop the roots under the ground, it's not gonna be that big of a deal. Remember, evergreens don't have nearly the deep rooting structure as a deciduous tree.
All right. So when Brenda goes out there, it's not going to be as much work for her as you'd think.
It's a good job for her for the weekend.
Excellent news. Okay, that's Bob Bertog, marriage counselor and the president of Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling. Bob, will you help us again next week?
Sure will, John. Have a great week.